Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Game Week 30 of Fantasy Football Noise. With me as always, Steve Baker.
Hello, John.
And Wayne Mitchell.
Good evening. Hello. How are you?
Very well, thank you, gents. Very well indeed. Can you believe it? 30 game weeks. We're officially into the final quarter of the season.
I know. It's super exciting. We've made it. And we were a bit despondent mid-season. We had January blues, I think.
I think you're dead right. Both from a fantasy football perspective and a shall we carry on with this podcast nonsense perspective. But our mojos have picked up. Both fronts.
And the fans love us.
So some of them do. Yeah, we certainly have some. The numbers are creeping up every week.
We're even being asked questions about what should I do for the rest of the season now. And it's gone really quick, actually, hasn't it? Think about all of that time that we spent at the beginning of the season. We're now nearly there.
Amazing.
Let's just be clear. Those questions are just for John and I. No one's going to ask you that question. Actually, they might, and then do exactly the opposite and profit handsomely.
I think I bring a slightly different perspective.
You certainly do, mate.
Which perspective would you say you bring, mate?
If
you had to give it a label.
A slightly left-field perspective.
Mm-hmm. Left-field. What would you call it, Beggs?
I would say a pointless perspective.
Nay, ill-informed.
Ignorant and absurd. On tonight's show, we're going to review Game Week 30 as we always do. We're going to help Baco with this free hit decision. Look at those choices. We're going to have a quick chat with Danny Whiting, our February Manager of the Month. In the absence of Kane and Aguero, now they're both out injured for a while, we're going to look at what captain choices are best in the remaining games, and we have a very, very mucky story which has been sent in by a fan of the show. So we've got all those things to look forward to. But before we do, biggest talking point of this week, sadly, has got to be Carragher's actions, hasn't it?
The dirty bastard.
Brings shame on our football club.
I must reflect on whether that would have happened to me and my daughter when I was 14, and I conclude it probably wouldn't have because I'm not a fucking pikey.
Hey, you know who else is a Liverpool fan, don't you, boys?
Who, mate?
February's Manager of the Month.
Of course.
Miss Danny Whiting.
Miss Danny Whiting. I believe she's a Liverpool fan. Should we get her on? She's ready and waiting.
I'd love to.
Let's get her on.
Great stuff. Good evening, Danny Whiting.
Good evening, all.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Very exciting to have you on.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Clearly, we weren't important enough for you last week because you went out to watch Liverpool-Porto 0-0.
Turgid.
In hindsight, I wish I'd have come on, to be honest.
Yes, that's what we like to hear.
It was never going to be a thriller, was it, with that kind of deficit to recover?
Yeah.
Congratulations on being February's Manager of the Month.
Thank you very much.
A spectacular performance.
And I saw in Game Week 27, you got 109 points.
The only gutting thing about that week was I really wish that I'd have triple captained Aguero, but I didn't.
Oh, of course, it was the Aguero hat-trick week, wasn't it?
It was four goals, actually, I think, that week.
Oh, he scored four.
It was four, yes. I had him as my captain. Triple captain would have been Very, very nice indeed, wouldn't it?
Certainly would have been.
So what went well for you then that whole month, apart from that oversight?
Yeah, it was a really good month. Apart from, I've kind of made this error lately, which is I bought in Jesse Lingard, and
yeah,
since I've bought him in, he's literally scored next to nothing. So that wasn't the best decision. And also, being a Liverpool fan, it took a lot for me to bring a Man United player into my squad. And then for him to score next to nothing didn't prove to be the best decision I've ever made.
That's how he repays you.
And he's also a well-known footballing knobhead.
Danny, I see that you're a relative newbie. I've only got a season history of 2016-2017. Was that your first season you started playing?
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, it was... Before, and I dread to say this in case, obviously, everyone uses the Premier League fantasy football one, but before I was a Daily Telegraph player.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. We're not prejudiced.
Yeah, so, now I've come across to this one, so.
How do you find it?
I prefer this one. It's more my preference, to be honest. Mainly because I get a bit carried away in the Telegraph one, and you have so many transfers, so 30 transfers at the beginning of the season. And you kind of decide as in when you use those. So you could use them in the first month if you wish, but then you would have no transfers for the rest of the season. So if there's any injuries.
And there's no way of acquiring more?
No, there's not, no. So so I much prefer this one.
Have you ever attempted the draft version of the game?
I haven't, no, actually, no.
So basically the way the draft version works is you basically have a draft at the beginning of the season, and each real-life player can only belong in one person's fantasy team. So everyone's team's completely unique.
Ah, see, that sounds interesting.
It's brilliant.
It's very good.
It's really good.
Because do you guys find that frustrating about this league a little bit, that you can click on everybody and have a look at their team? And if you're kind of chasing the tail of somebody, it forces you to think, oh, we've got about 80% of the same players. So even though I think this person's going to score, I'm going to have to change something if I want to overtake them.
Yeah, that's it.
Constantly in search of the differential.
Yeah, that's the worst aspect of this game is everyone having duplicate squads. Yeah, hence we decided to try the other version out as well. And I have to say, we all I think I'm right saying we all prefer it, don't we?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Still enjoy the FPL, but yeah, that is good.
Danny, like us, you've had a pretty disappointing game week 30.
Yes.
Talk me through the decision-making process to keep Kante as your third sub and have Robson Kanu start.
That is a
Baker,
really
you've
bad.
Done your research just to do piss-taking, haven't you?
Oh, no, not at all. There might be some logic behind it, Danny.
There might be, but I doubt it.
There really is not.
Did you forget?
I did, yeah. I'm not. That is an absolute shocking decision. Wow, a shocker just missed, I'd say.
Well, don't forget this game week, Danny, for Christ's sake, because it's game week 31 and it's only a four fixture game week.
Well, I've actually decided to use my free hit.
Oh, aha, free hit. You and Baker have something in common.
Yeah. Have you already started having a little look?
I certainly have, yes. So I've actually changed, I've actually done it, and what I find really quite amusing is that I think I still have about 35 million left in the bank.
I've got 6.5 million left in my bank after it. And I've gone Sane, Firmino and Salah. I've gone all three. Those are my three Liverpools that I've picked.
Do you mean Mane?
Yeah.
Sorry, Mane, sorry.
I'd love it if you picked Sane.
Yeah. I was actually thinking I don't want to say anything just in case. Yeah, in fairness, I've gone Salah, Mane and Firmino as well.
Very good.
Cool. What's the rest of the lineup looking like?
You literally can't spend your money on the rest, can you? You can try as you might, but those teams that are playing on the blank game week, you just can't spend the money on them.
No, you literally can't spend 100 million quid on that.
No.
Danny, can you give me some inside track from the Britannia, or the Bet365, as I think it's been rebranded since the last time I was there?
Yes, it is.
I've got Choupo-Moting and Shaqiri in my free hit game week 31 side. Have I picked the right Stoke players?
Yes, because I've also picked those in my free hit as well.
Very good. Have we got exactly the same side?
We possibly might have, yes.
I've gone for a Bournemouth clean sheet, so I've gone Ake, Daniels and Begovic.
Oh, okay.
You haven't, no, have I've, you,
I,
at all?
I've mixed it up a little bit.
Eggs in one basket, I think, Baker.
Nah, yeah, I've got Ake and I've got Tomkins, Crystal Palace, and Zuma from Stoke.
Very good. You've gone fancy Stoke to keep a clean sheet against Everton?
I don't, but if I'm really honest, you can only use three players from each side, so I had to divvy it up somewhere.
Tough, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was quite tough. I think it's the fact you've just got to really look at the four games and literally say who is going to win, and then put all your eggs in that basket.
I had six of the eight keepers at any one point in my side this week.
Got to be Begovic.
I've stuck on Begovic now. Yeah,
I've got Begovic as well.
Yeah, that's the obvious choice. Right, gents, should we let Danny go?
Yeah,
let's go and have a pizza. Thank you ever so much for joining us.
It was brilliant. Congrats. Thank you, Danny.
Congrats again on the win, even though you pipped me to it by a few points. I was annoyed at the time. My one chance at...
Have you got your mug yet?
I haven't got my mug yet. And
Mitchell.
And that's obviously why I've come on this tonight, just to get
that's
a mug.
Obviously why.
I can only issue and dispatch a mug when I know the address.
To be fair, I was going to say, we haven't asked her for her address yet.
So okay, fair enough.
Danny, you've got my number. Text me the address. I shall forward it to the mug department.
I will only dispatch Fantasy Football Noise mugs to people who will look after them and are responsible adults.
I will definitely look after it, I promise. It will be on my desk at work, pride of place.
We're going to need your personal Twitter handle in that case. Okay. And that's the one where you're going to need to post your photo of yourself with the mug in pride of place at work, I think.
Yep, will do.
Marvellous. All right, great. Well, thanks very much, Danny. Cheers for joining us. Much appreciated. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Bonne chance.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, brilliant, guys. Cheers, thanks. Bye.
Right then, so what else happened in game week 30, gents? Not a high scorer, was it?
It wasn't a high scorer, but never have I been more delighted to get a clean sheet and a point than I was at Huddersfield. Cracking performance.
Was it? I haven't seen that, and I couldn't believe it there. When I heard that Swansea were down to 10 men...
After 11 minutes.
I thought, yes, my move to bring in Meunier and Van La Parra...
Oh, did you?
...is going to pay off. Did it fuck?
I tell you what, to be fair, Fabianski did pull off one fantastic save off of Meunier.
Did he?
He caught it as sweet as a nut, volley from outside the box, and yeah, it was a bullet.
Mm.
And Fabianski just got fingertips to it.
I didn't see why bloody Jordan Ayew got sent off. I haven't seen those highlights.
Of course you've got him, haven't you?
I've got him and he's given me -2. What the fuck did he do?
It was a pretty lost control, nasty studs up straight into the knee. I think it was Pritchard who he kicked up, maybe. But definite red card. We haven't appealed. And how about Newcastle and Everton? Newcastle, Southampton? Oh, is Pellegrino gone?
Yeah. It's all up in this week.
Kennedy? How frustrating is that for you, Jay?
Oh, fucking Kennedy. So I've had Kennedy in since the end of the transfer window. I knew he was a good player. I knew he was a talent. He's going to come good soon. Just like my Kane thing earlier on in the season. It's going to come good. Week I get rid of him in exchange for... who did I get rid of him for? Well, I swapped him for Van La Parra and Mooney ahead of the blank game week next week. And yeah... He does that. 16 points. Pretty standard for my season. So yeah, did I come last out of the three of us in the end with 34?
Yeah, shall we just talk head-to-head for the moment?
Mm-hmm.
We should. I think we neglected to update it last week. By my maths, it's 11-11-7. Me, Baco and Mitch.
Correct.
So this week... Yeah, I ended up with 34. So going into last night's game, it was quite nicely poised because I had Shaqiri and no one else. You both had Otamendi.
Yep.
And Baker, you had Gunga Din.
Yeah, Gunga Din as
Mitch,
well.
And Mitch, you had De Bruyne. So correct. It was quite nicely poised. If on the off chance Shaqiri could have scored, that would have negated the clean sheet points of both of you. And I would have probably edged the game week. As it was, that didn't happen, obviously. And I ended up with 34. And what did you get, boys?
37 for me.
and I edged it. I had 39 because I captained De Bruyne. I was expecting much bigger things from him, but he only got 3, doubled up to 6, which is what gave him.
Unbelievable. 39 point game week victory. Yeah, that is pathetic, a shocking performance from us really
all three of us below average and in the 30s. That's dreadful.
Yeah. So that makes it 11, 11, 8.
Surprisingly close. Surprisingly close.
And a poor old Liverpool.
Yeah, oh God. Well, you know, you've got to give United credit where it's due. They did a job on us. They did a job. Yeah. Salah was hardly in the game.
Alexander-Arnold, I'm afraid, had a shocker for both goals.
Yeah, bit of a lesson there. Well, mind you, a lot of much better right backs than him would have been put on their arse by those Rashford moves. He was brilliant. That first one,
those two goals, they were well taken, weren't they? Fucking well taken.
Really well. Worldies.
Yeah. I did see a lot of chatter on social media about the fact that Ashley Young had Salah in his pocket for most of the game. So I didn't see the whole game, saw the highlights, but I guess once you've quietened him down, then it really neutralises their biggest threat, doesn't it?
Yeah, we did struggle. It wasn't a good performance. Lukaku had the better of Lovren, didn't he, the whole game?
He's had 3 good games in a row, Lukaku, now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And absolutely. Rashford's pace and movement, it's brilliant. So, and obviously once they got to 2, that was it. There's going to be no way back.
Lukaku's an interesting FPL asset, I think. So looking at his score, I think the last time I looked, he's got about 144 points, which is it probably puts him somewhere in the top 10, I would guess. But he's not been flashy this season. He's not had lots and lots of goals. But yeah, looking at those performances over the last 3 weeks, he's done the job that they've wanted him to do. He's big, he's strong, gets possession, wins the ball, and yeah, he's getting some points. So I think, yeah, I got rid of him early in the season because I got disappointed with him not getting enough goals. But actually, he's kind of ground out results. I think he's not even missed a game, has he? So he doesn't get injured either. So he's a good asset in that regard.
Yeah. His form at the moment is 8.3, which is pretty good.
Stinking.
Yeah, and of course, United are one of the teams with 2 double game weeks most likely coming up. So
double doubles.
Yeah, he's got to be an option, hasn't he?
How about West Brom? They're down, right? Leicester 4-1 at the Hawthorns.
Yeah, gone. Must be gone. No way back.
While I was on the show last week on my mobile device, I told you all that I'd substituted in Mahrez there and then. Hadn't pressed submit. Easily fixed on Saturday morning when I looked again at my team, surely. But no, I decided to change my fucking mind and not bring Mahrez in.
Oh.
So disappointed.
Well, my decision was to bring in Van La Parra and Mooney just for the blank game week, and then I'm going to bring in Vardy and Mahrez for the rest of the season from week 32 on, because they've got the lovely fixtures that we discussed last week.
Yeah.
But yes, I was not banking on them both scoring the week before, and then it just means everyone else is going to do the same thing, isn't it? So.
I think it's fair to say Huddersfield struggled to unpick Swansea.
Yeah, apparently so.
We gave them crosses into the box, and with our 3 centre-halves, we were fine. Mm. We placed players in the right places and closed down the right space, and they didn't look that great. So I know last week we said maybe a couple of Huddersfield at home in game week 31, but after Saturday's performance, and it's the first time I've had a look at Huddersfield this season. I didn't watch the game at the Liberty earlier in the season. And I have to say they were quite poor. I quite like Pritchard as a player.
Mm. And actually, as we've discussed before, Crystal Palace, who they play this next weekend, they're no mugs at the back either anymore. So, yeah, they won't be easy to break down either.
That's it. I've gone 2 Palace defenders in my game week 31 free hit.
Mm. Interesting. Well, should we move on to talk about your free hit, since we've touched about it with Danny?
Yeah, let's have
and
a
you've
look.
Told us. You've told us some of it. So I think you've got too many eggs in the Bournemouth basket. I understand why you've gone for that, obviously. But one goal and you're going to be gutted.
So for everyone's benefit, I think Liverpool, Bournemouth and Palace will get the clean sheets. I suspect it might be 0-0 at Huddersfield, so Huddersfield might get a clean sheet. But rather than, at this stage, rather than go for Schindler, for Huddersfield. I left him out and I've gone Palace and Bournemouth defenders only, which allows me to pick three attacking Liverpool players, Mane, Salah and Firmino. I think Everton are shocking away from home, so I think Stoke are going to do well. So I've gone Shaqiri and Choupo-Moting. And I loved Wilf Zaha coming off the bench for Palace. Yeah. They were great in the second half against Chelsea. Great to have him back. He really made the difference and set up Van Aanholt's goal as
well. And they played well against United the week before, didn't they?
Yeah. So I think Wilf gets a spot.
I quite like it, actually.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think for the ranking that you are in now, so you haven't got a lot to lose. It's not like you're in the top 10K and you don't want to fall out. You're really trying to make up ground.
Yep.
So it's a bold move. It's a bold free hit team. If the games go the way you think, if you get Bournemouth and Palace clean sheets, you are going to hurtle up the table.
Yeah, I think so.
So, and if you don't, then you don't, because I don't think the average is likely to be very high, do you?
No, I don't think so.
This week.
So. It's a shame Everton are away because I brought Baines in. He's my first sub, but he had a really good game on Saturday.
Yeah,
but
they I just brought him in my draft side.
Yeah, they're much more effective at home. Did you see, actually, the funniest moment of the weekend for me was that Cockend Knockhart getting sent off for Brighton. Did you see it?
No, I didn't, actually. I saw Match of the Day, but I only saw the first four games that they showed, I think.
He lost his temper. And it wasn't at Leighton Baines. I think he might have shinned it off for a throw-in. Anyway, Baines takes a throw-in, throws it to his mate, who kicks it back to Baines. And fucking Knockhart comes steaming in, studs up, and just twats him in the leg. But the funny part of it was Leighton Baines just stood there, didn't even flinch, and looked at him as if to say, what else you got, cunt? Didn't even move, sent off.
Solid.
Leighton Baines is proper hard.
Brilliant. So is there anyone else that any of us think you might have missed out? Anyone you've overlooked for your free hit side? Was there anyone that's on the fringes who you've pondered over?
So Mounier and Van La Parra were in my team at different times this week already. I really can't bring myself to have a West... I actually had Forster in nets at one point.
Crazy.
That would be crazy.
I
debated about whether to go for a Liverpool clean sheet and have I concentrated too much on Mane, Salah and Firmino? Because you really need a 4 or 5 nil for those three to be a sensible pick, don't you?
I don't know. There's every chance of that. I would say there's a better chance of us scoring 3+ goals than there is of keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Because there's every chance that, you know, Deeney or Decore are going to pop up and stick one in. We're not, you know, we're better recently at the back, but we've definitely got a rick in us. And I think I think there's a lot of sense to the way you've done that.
There you go. That's my thinking anyway.
I like it, mate. I like it.
Newsflash, chaps, if I may.
Oh, newsflash.
Update from Old Trafford as a goal.
Who's it gone to?
Seville.
Has it?
Someone with a B at the start of their
Hold on, let's have a name. Look. It is a goal from...
It was quite a long name, beginning with B on the back of his shirt, and he was wearing 9.
Not Ben Yedder.
Wow.
Yes, it is Ben Yedder.
Ah, fuck, I got rid of him last time round. He was shite. Do you want to know what I've done for the blank game week as well, chaps?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Have you gone for your nine outfielders plus minus 8 points?
I've gone more.
Wow.
Oh.
I've gone minus 20. I've gone balls out.
Go on, what have you got?
Wow.
I've kept in my side. Already had Robertson, Daniels, Begovic, Salah and MacArthur. I've brought in Zanka from Huddersfield at the back. Shaqiri.
Why?
Because I think that Huddersfield will keep a clean sheet, and so 4 points spent on Zanka.
Not with Wilf starting.
Who?
Wilfried Zaha.
It'd be fine. So I think they'll get a clean sheet, so that'll give me a positive result on my 4 points invested. Shaqiri I've brought in, and I've brought in Firmino up front, and Mounier, and Wilson.
That's ballsy.
I see them all as investments. So I think they will all pay me back. There might only be a point they pay me back, but it'll be a net positive against having no player in the side that's playing.
How many players were you fielding prior to your 20-point spend?
I would have had, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six. And now you're going to field 11, are you?
Yes, correct. I've got a full 11.
And have you thought ahead to subsequent game weeks?
Yes. Because
you've still got your free hit and you've still got your wild card, right?
I've not got my free hit. I'm going to play my wild card.
When are you playing that? What's the plan?
I'm going to play that next week.
Well, if you're going to play it next week, don't think ahead.
What do you mean?
Free hit. Don't see them as investments.
No, no, they're not.
Just play the game week.
These players are all selected for the game week.
I think he meant short-term investments.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Invest as in, they will give me a return in the blank game week. That's why I spent the points.
Okay.
See, there is an argument. I have heard it discussed on other fantasy football media that if you were obviously going to be left with, in Mitch's case, five players not playing, then that would have been five guaranteed zeros. So if he's making five transfers at a cost of 20... No, you must have had one free one. Well, anyway, there's an argument that rather than each extra one being a four-point hit, it's only a two-point hit.
Mm.
Because providing they play, you know...
Yeah, it's a fair point.
You're going to get... You should, with a fair wind, get at least 2 points for all of them. And obviously there's the potential for many more, so...
Oh, 2-0 Seville.
Is it?
Yeah. Same fella by the looks of it.
That's got to really hurt, Mitch. Silence. We'll assume that it did.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, so, you know, you could view the 20-point spend as a 10-point spend in that thought process, if you like.
Yep, confirmed. Wissam Ben Yedder, 74, 78. Had him in my side, then got rid of him. Changed him for Ferreira from Shakhtar Donetsk. Because I don't think he played in the last leg.
The bigger concern for me is that I've just filled my team with four United... by the way, we're talking about Champions League draft fantasy team. I've filled my team with four Man United players after my PSG players got knocked out. Better change that quite quickly.
And the way it works is all the players in the Champions League draft are now on waivers. You can't pick anyone up instantly.
No.
But you can do what Mitch did last week during the Spurs game after Son scored.
Oh my God! You've got to bring everybody up to speed on this because this is gold. This story is absolutely
the biggest
this is golden
fuckery ever. That is.
this is so good.
In the first week of Champions League, Son was on the bench, so I offered a trade to Mitch, which was swapping my Son for Pjanic from Juventus. Mitch ignored it for 2 weeks and then saw it. When did you see it?
I saw it around
midway
about,
through the second leg.
It was about half time, and yeah. Pjanic had just been booked so that he would be out of the next leg. Son had scored. Spurs had two away goals and were 1-0 up, and I thought, there doesn't come a better time than to accept this trade than right now. So bang, I accepted it.
And I'd forgotten to cancel the trade. So it comes through.
By the way, Mitch was if I'm right in saying, in our little WhatsApp group, Mitch was quite happy with himself. There was a bit of gloating.
Yeah, there was actually, yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
Carry on.
And then Juve scored 2 goals. Spurs go out. I keep the 8 points for Son. And I get Pjanic, even though he's out of the next leg, but he will play in the semi-final.
Well, it's two legs.
Not
the
semi-final,
the next
round, second leg. Yeah, the quarter-final, second leg. Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I do genuinely. It makes me think on some of these things that I have higher powers, and in some circles called the reverse alchemist, that everything I touch turns to shit. Fucking Penis. Unbelievable. But I did see there was a Paddy Power tweet about it where they said 2 away goals, 1-0 up at half time in the second leg, playing at home. Spurs really fucking Spursed that up, which is exactly what they did. Really fucked it up royally, didn't they, idiots?
Yeah, completely. Right, gents, anything else to discuss on game week 30 before we go to the halftime break?
I'd rather not speak of it.
Oh, there is something I want to talk about. I thought Bournemouth were incredibly unlucky.
Did you?
Incredibly unlucky. Yeah, absolutely. Son's first goal, when it was 1-1, which made it 2-1, was so lucky. He completely scuffed it, drove it down into the ground with massive spin on it. Begovic went to where it, you know, would have got, if he'd hit it nicely, Begovic probably would have got it. Instead of that, it bobbled over him into the goal. And then I thought Callum Wilson's goal, which was disallowed, was perfectly good. Mm. It got ruled out for a push on Sanchez, and his hand, I'm going to say, rested against Sanchez's back. He had his arm out, probably to protect himself. There was zero push. Zero push. Sanchez was spinning, and hence, you know, he lost his balance. And it probably, I can understand why it might have looked like a push, but the reverse angle, which the referee doesn't get to see, of course, but proved that there was no push. So I'm just saying, it was incredibly unlucky.
I forgot to say, actually, Liverpool
could easily have been
2-1
cherries at that point.
Whilst they lost, they were unlucky. So Van Dijk missed an absolute sitter with his head.
Yeah.
Fellaini did kick up your man Mane, I thought.
That Van Dijk chance as well,
definitely,
Baco.
Definitely, it was a Stonewall pen.
That Van Dijk chance, yeah, didn't even get his head to it off the shoulder, wasn't it?
Well, no, he did. It glanced his head, and then it went onto his shoulder.
Did
the ball
off.
Was dipping.
It did
to
not
be fair.
Glance his head. It just hit his shoulder.
It was
professional
the
footballer cannot even judge the flight of a ball. Useless. 75 million quid. That's, fucking useless.
That's what 75 mil gets you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our corners let us down the whole game. Our deliveries in. We must have had more than 10 corners.
2-1.
Oh.
Big Roger Lukaku.
Oh, there you go. We must have put over at least 10 crosses in. In fact, I think I might have heard it was 13 crosses in. And Van Dijk went to the near post nearly every time, and all our crosses went long. We all went into the middle, too close to De Gea, or they went long. And it was just like, well, he's obviously doing what you've practiced on the training ground. Why are none of these balls
going to your right tallest central defender who's come up for exactly that purpose?
I saw Jurgen Klopp after one such corner, incredulous. He was looking out onto the pitch.
Infuriating. Oh, and one last thing that I wanted to mention about the Bournemouth game. Did you happen to hear in the highlights what the crowd were chanting after Kane? Kane's missed attempt where he hurt his ankle. Did you hear what the crowd were singing?
No.
You're just a shit Callum Wilson.
I mean, we should talk about that. That's did you see the news earlier today? Looks like he's out until May.
Oof.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to a break now, and one of you hopefully has prepared some trivia. And after the break, we're going to talk about what your, you know, what your best captain choices are in the absence of Aguero and Kane. So we'll do that, and we'll talk about a few other things as well. Who's got a trivia question for us this week?
Yep, sure have, because I'm pretty sure pair of penises won't have bothered.
I was going to make one up on the spot. Mine was going to be Swansea's possession stats against Huddersfield were the second lowest in Premier League history. Can you name the other four in the top five?
Fucking hell.
And then I would have looked it up, because I don't know the answer.
Right, okay. Let's have yours, Mitch.
I've got mine already. So, in terms of the top six debut seasons for goal scoring, Mo Salah, with 8 games to go, is already in the top six with 24 goals. So 24 not out for Mo Salah. Who are the other 5 top scorers in their debut season?
Premier League only goals.
Premier League only goals, yeah.
Okay, great. Great question.
Very good.
We'll have those later in the show.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, welcome back to part two. So, gents, with the injuries to Harry Kane, who is just a shit Callum Wilson, and Sergio Aguero, where do you think our captain attention should turn to? Well, firstly, for this next game week, because that's obviously a difficult one.
Salah's been my go-to captain, and I don't think I'm going to change it for this game week.
Yeah, it's got to be Salah, hasn't it?
It's got to be Salah, but it's got to be said he's not on great form.
Is that fair? He was shut out at United.
It's 2 weeks in a row, isn't it?
I think no. I think if you go back and glance over his preceding five game weeks, you'll find it's 8, 15, 13, 10, 8. I wouldn't say he's not in very good form.
He's not in form.
No. Dire. definitely Salah. So does that mean it's going to be Salah for the next couple? Because obviously Liverpool don't have a double game week in 34, so you're surely going to choose someone that does.
Yeah, definitely.
And have all these double game weeks been confirmed yet?
The game week 34s have, yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I think we talked about it earlier on. I think Leicester are a good shout, so Vardy and Mahrez are the obvious ones there.
Yep, Vardy and Mahrez. David Silva's back on form. Son is playing brilliantly. If you look at the form charts, I guess he's probably top at the minute.
Yeah, but Spurs play City as the first of their doubleheader.
Yeah, Vardy and Mahrez look good for the last, I'm losing count of games, but something like the next six games are good because their fixture difficulty rating twos and threes. They end up the season with a five and a four against Spurs and Arsenal, but yeah, they could do a job for the next six game weeks, I guess.
How about Aubameyang just chucking that in there? Arsenal have got a great run of fixtures coming up.
Yeah,
he's
good shout.
He's looking good, isn't he?
He is, very much so. And I think also Lukaku. Yeah. Lukaku would be a good shout as well, because they're at home to West Brom and away at West Ham in the double game week. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Perhaps we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. I think we've sorted it in the short term, haven't we?
Yeah.
Right, so we do have a listener's mucky story, which has been sent in. Are we ready for it? Is it time?
Who is it?
It's friend of the show, John Emerson.
Johnny Emerson.
You did say Johnny it was Emerson. A particularly mucky story. I mean, I don't know. You say, are we ready for it? I don't know. Are we ready for it? How mucky is it?
It's not for the faint-hearted, I would say.
I haven't heard his dulcet tones for a while.
Okay, well, you're about to. We had a couple of technical issues getting this to us. So I've managed to get it working on my phone, but not through. So I'm going to play it through to you on my speaker, and hopefully the sound quality will be acceptable. So here we go.
Okay.
I like that sound.
Good sound. That's it. It's finished at Old Trafford.
Has it?
Yes.
So they're out. Shit. I mean, I'm delighted that they're out, but I've now got four vacancies in my side. And no, has anyone got any severe players?
Don't think so. I'm sure we will have in the waivers on Friday.
Christ, yeah, I have to look at that straight away.
Watch the charge for Wissam Ben Yedder in the waivers in the Champions League draft this week.
Right, okay. So ready for the story, lads?
Yes.
Born ready.
So I've been asked to provide a mucky story for Fantasy Football Noise, and JB has been asking me to do this for quite some time, probably 2 or 3 months at least. And I must apologise, I just simply keep forgetting. And I'm quite a lazy man, so that's why I haven't so far submitted it. He's given me the option to send in an audio file on WhatsApp, which I'm now doing. For the record, I do not think this is going to work very well. My radio voice is nowhere near as good as JB's.
Correct.
Fact. Certainly isn't.
And also, there'll be no audience interaction from the other two Muppets on the show.
Oh, yes,
so
there will be.
We'll give it a go.
What did he call you?
Muppets.
Penis. Called us we always have Muppets, our right to reply, Mitch. Fuck him.
I think it's perfectly fair.
This also feels quite apt to submit this week, being that I am the top scorer in the Fantasy Football Noise League this week, which I think is the first time that's ever happened. But I will revel in my glory for 1 week if it only lasts for 1 week.
Can you edit that out, please, John?
Anyway,
edit
lucky
that bit
story.
Out.
Yeah, we'll cut that bit.
Fucking
yeah.
Wanker. Show off.
Frick.
I'm going to buck the trend, and I'm going to use real names for this. So let me set the scene. It was back when I was at university, or my friends were at university. I was still working. So long, long time ago. Let's think 18 years ago, something like that. And most weekends I would spend my time travelling from Birmingham, where I lived at the time, up to Leicester, where a large portion of my mates lived, and we would go out raving each weekend. And on one of these such weekends, I turned up at my friend Mark's house on a Saturday morning, about 11 o'clock in the morning, nothing out of the ordinary, knocked on the door, and was met at my friend Mark, and he had what can only be described as a look of pure horror, mixed with hilarity on his face.
I'm struggling to picture what horror and hilarity mixed together actually looked like. Anyone help me out on that?
I don't know. Is there an emoji for that?
Horror/hilarity.
And he kind of ushered me into the flat and straight into his bedroom, which was really quite strange. I was such a frequent visitor in this particular flat that the living room had been named John's bedroom. And for the purposes of the story, it's important that you know the layout of the flat. So imagine
really?
A front door leading onto a single straight corridor. On the left-hand side of that corridor were four bedrooms in a row coming off the corridor, and on the right-hand side of the corridor were the living room and then the kitchen at the end. Mark's bedroom was the first on the left, so he ushered me into his bedroom, and he's like, you are not going to believe what's happened here last night. So go on, tell me. And he's like, no, just go and have a little look in the corridor and see what you can find. Like, okay. So I kind of peeked my head out into the corridor, and it was like the typical student flat, grim as fuck, mattress in the hallway, beer bottles and takeaway cartons everywhere. Literally horrendous this place was. But my eyes managed to pick out through the mess a kind of a strange coloration to the carpet in various places leading out of one of his housemate Pete's rooms. So I had a little look down the corridor, made a closer inspection, and this kind of brown kind of marks that kind of led from Pete's room and kind of went down the corridor and into the kitchen. So what the hell is that? Kind of tiptoeing down a corridor, trying not to stand on anything, and look into the kitchen, and the brown trail leads into the kitchen and up towards, they had a breakfast bar, like a little sticky out thing with some stools around it. And on one of these stools was more brown stuff, and an almost perfect imprint of what turned out to be a man's arse. And I was like, what the fuck has happened here? Went back into Mark's bedroom. He, by this stage, is pissing himself. And I'm like, mate, what's happened? Pete shit himself and dragged it all through the flat. And he was like, well, yeah, but that's not quite the whole story. they'd all been out on the piss. Absolutely smashed. Got home, passed out in various different places, blah, blah, blah. So Pete had woken up a couple of hours later, covered in shit, and immediately realised that it must have been one of his housemates that had come into his room in the middle of the night and had decided to defecate all over him.
Obviously.
Can you imagine?
That's an obvious assumption I think we all jump
yeah.
to.
Oh, someone shit on me again.
Oh, I know what's happened here.
So, gets up, screams the house down, charges into another housemate, Andy's room. What the fuck have you done, you dirty bastard? Why have you shit all over me? You're disgusting, rah, 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 rah. This wakes up all of the other housemates who between them calm Pete down and make him realise that, no, of course, none of them had gone into his room in the middle of the night and shat all over him, that he had, in fact, shat himself. So they calm him down, get him back into his bedroom. Pete, being the filthy bastard he is, just turns the mattress over and goes back into bed. At this point in Mark's story,
we've all been there.
Mate, that doesn't explain the shit down the hallway and to the kitchen. He's like, oh, no, not finished yet. But, oh, okay. So all calms down, everyone goes back to bed. And then next morning, I can't remember which housemate it was that got up first, found that Pete must have woken up again in the middle of the night and had probably tried to go to the toilet. But had failed miserably at that relatively simple task and had proceeded to shit himself and crop dust, but with shit coming out of his ass, all the way down the hallway, and had found the stool in the kitchen and decided that was a toilet and decided to then shit on the stool. So, obviously, I'm finding this absolutely golden. Like, it is music to a man like Maya's ears. And Hollins is finishing telling the story, and I'm in fits of laughter. And at that point, remember, it's about 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, there's a knock on the front door. So Mark answers the front door, and it's his landlord. Or no, it wasn't his landlord, it was a state agent. State agent with some prospective tenants who wished to view the flat, who wanted to live there. Now, a normal person in a normal situation would have said to the estate agent, sorry, mate, it's really not the best time. Could you come back tomorrow, a few days, next week, next month?
Trust me, it's not
Mark,
a great...
being slightly idiotic in his approach to life, decides that the best course of action is to grab me, say, yep, crack on, guys. Grabs me, says, come on, mate, let's go. We get out the front door, he closes it behind them, lets them in, and says, right, run. And we literally scamper down the stairs, out of his flat, down the road, and to the nearest pub as quickly as we possibly can.
Oh, my God. You've gone on a viewing, you walk through a flat's door, and that greets you. The door closes behind you. Imagine the smell.
Oh, and here we can see someone shit on a stool in the kitchen.
Oh my God, there's a trail of it all the way up the flat.
Two wonderful things about that story that I love is the fact that his first assumption was someone has had the temerity to come in and shit all over me. I mean, if I woke up anywhere with shit on me, your first assumption surely would be, I've done that to myself. Not that someone else had come and put that on me, because that's a really quite foul act. So that's amazing, and I love it. But secondly, I just love the stitch up of, yeah, just fucking let the estate agent in and let's absolutely peg it. Brilliant.
See if I give a fuck.
Yeah. Deal with that, wankers.
Right, last little bit.
And let the estate agent show those poor tenants round. Now, to this day, I have no idea whether they took the flat. I find it strangely unlikely. But that is the story of Pete the Pooh, and that's Pete the Pooh Volume 1. There is a Volume 2, but I shall save that for another time. Hopefully you've enjoyed that, boys. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
It was brilliant.
Isn't that brilliant?
Lovely.
Thank you, Johnny Emerson.
Thank you, Johnny Emerson.
Very good.
Yeah, that's superb. I did enjoy that.
I'd say that's a premium plop story, that is.
Yeah. I should point out, by the way, that whilst we have asked people for stories, they don't have to be poo-related. They could just be any funny story, any embarrassing story, anything with humour. So do please send them in to us. You can either email us at fantasyfootballnoise@gmail.com, or you can approach us on Twitter, and we can give you a range of contact details. But on Twitter, we are @fantasy_noise. And while we're at it, while we're appealing to your kinder nature, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star review on iTunes and even subscribe to us either on iTunes or Acast or wherever you happen to be listening to us. We would really appreciate it.
We are agonisingly close to 800 followers on Twitter as well now, so do remember, 800th follower gets a mug, Fantasy Football Noise mug, and one of the 100 preceding followers will also get a mug as well, premium quality mug
chosen at random. And of course, if you are not already in our mini league, you should get involved. The code you need to join is permanently on our Twitter profile page. We never close the door, even though certain quarters have said we shouldn't let people in so late.
It was only Stuart
Harrington said that.
Yeah, Stuart Harrington. Worried about his position being forced down by people who are simply better than him. My answer would be they've been better than you all season, whether they were in this mini league or not. Now there's just proof of it. So get better.
I am a bit worried about Stuart Harrington. I think he could be dead because he has been notably quiet about the Saints bants that have been going on over the last 2 or 3 days. Or he could just be maintaining a silence. I don't know.
I wonder why.
Didn't he have a big night at the British Kebab Awards last night?
He did, actually, didn't he? Yes. Yeah.
I can't believe there even is a British Kebab Awards. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
I mean, there's an award for everything, isn't there?
All right, then. So just before we wrap the show up, we've already kind of looked ahead, haven't we? We've done our Game Week 31 looking ahead chat. So shall we have the trivia answers?
Yes, let's. So it's 1-1 on this particular head-to-head, isn't it? So to remind you of the question, from a goals perspective, the 6 best debut seasons for goals scored. Mo Salah is at 24 already with 8 games to go, and he's in 6th place. Who are the 5 that are above him in goals scored in their debut season? So, who's going first? Baco?
Aguero.
No, not Aguero.
Oh, really? I had that written down. I thought that was a shoo-in. Wow. I think this is tough.
Well, once again, I might need to check my trivia. I just use premstats.com. So hopefully Premstats has got it right. But if they haven't, then...
Well, at least you can blame them if it's not.
Yeah, correct.
I'm going to go Harry Kane, mate.
No. Afraid not. He had quite a few quiet seasons before he started really scoring.
Okay.
Klinsmann.
No.
This is going well.
Wayne Rooney.
No, not Rooney.
I'm going to go Shearer.
Correct, Alan Shearer. 25 goals yes. in his debut season for Newcastle.
Boom.
Baco?
Debut season ever or debut season for Newcastle?
Debut season for the club.
In the
You didn't say that.
You didn't say that. You said in the league.
No, I didn't.
You did.
Well, you definitely didn't make it clear.
So someone could be a Premier League stalwart, get transferred.
Aha.
The definition of a debut season is a debut for a club, not a debut in a league.
Van Persie.
Correct.
Yes. Yes, very good.
1-1.
Van Nistelrooy.
Not Van Nistelrooy.
Oh.
By the way, that Van Persie was for Man United, 26 goals.
After he'd been transferred from... Arsenal.
Having one player of the season, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't say him, because it wasn't his first season in the Premier League.
Well, you just didn't listen properly to what I said, or don't know the definition of a debut season.
Now, I'm going to say once again, you didn't phrase a question very well, a bit like the week when you did the assists question, and you didn't make it clear that it was by season. You just said all-time top assists. Assisters.
Fucking hell, everyone's an expert, aren't they?
We glossed over it. We glossed over it at the time, but I can't bite my tongue any longer.
Crack on.
Is it your go, John?
It is. Michael Owen.
No.
Ian Wright.
No.
Andy Cole.
Correct, Andy Cole, first place.
Boom.
34 goals in his debut season for Newcastle.
Nice. 2-1?
2-1.
Chris Sutton?
Sorry, no.
Oh, I've got Sutton written
right
down.
I'll give you a clue. Some clues, just to guide you. Both have played for England.
Whose go is it, by the way? Because Baker's going to start blurting them out in a minute.
No, don't start blurting them out,
Who's
Baker.
Next guess?
It's your go, John, next.
Teddy Sheringham?
No. Baco?
Wayne, I've already said Wayne Rooney.
Had him.
Try him again. You never know.
I'll tell you, one of them was a player that one of you named in the trivia last week, but was incorrect, or the week before, maybe.
That's tough.
Played for multiple clubs.
Les Ferdinand.
Yes, Les Ferdinand. 25 goals in his debut season for Newcastle.
Yes.
One more to get, and I know you're going to kick yourself. Second place, he scored 30 goals in his debut season for this club.
Which Can you give us an approximate year and approximate club?
Ooh, it's a northern club. An approximate year? I don't know. Late 2000s?
Are we looking for a striker?
Yeah, a short striker. Played for England. 30 goals in one season.
Defoe.
Kevin Phillips.
Yes, Kevin Phillips.
Yes.
I've lost score, done. Though.
3-2 to me.
There you go.
Many thanks.
There you go. Yeah, I probably need to be a bit more precise with my trivia, don't I?
Yes.
A touch more would help.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
A notch more on the dial.
Shade more would be appreciated by all, I think.
Yeah, right.
Still, by the time it's edited, mate, you're going to sound like David Coleman, so don't worry.
I strongly and firmly doubt that.
I think you might sound like Sue Barker.
Right, okay, gents. Anything else to add?
Well, I was wondering whether I should fall on my sword and mention bet of the week.
Oh, yes, quickly do that.
Baco, the argument that we had over who should get the draw is somewhat irrelevant. I took Watford, you took Arsenal.
Which one?
Arsenal beat the shit out of Watford. You win another £10 off me. That's it.
Oh, wait. Any potential banana skins this week, Mitch? Oh, I think Watford will win at Liverpool.
Okay. How about Huddersfield Palace? I'll have Huddersfield win and draw. You can have Palace.
No, away team. Away team gets the draw.
No, not interested.
Oh, how about a straight bet, no draw?
Fine. I'll have Huddersfield. You have Palace.
Yes.
Fine. Done.
Excellent. Excellent. And on that note, let's call it a day.
It's been a pleasure, fellas.
It's been a pleasure. Absolutely. Speak to you next time, guys. Good luck, everybody.
Adieu.
Cheers.
Cue the music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.